It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Good afternoon, Lakeshore listeners. Good afternoon to everyone out there in Northwest Indiana. I'm glad you're tuning in. I'm glad you're listening to us. We're going to have a little bit of fun today. You know, we're going to collect some beer cans, something I haven't done since like the 70s or something like that. Nowadays, I don't know, you know, with these beer, you know, all these microbreweries, they all got these special cans and things like that. I bet you the kids nowadays, they don't even look at the Schlitz or the Pabst, or even if, I don't even know if they brew those beers anymore. You know,
oh, they brew them, but they're just not around.
Yeah. Who put the screen right in front of us?
I can't see your face.
I'm
moving it. I'm going to move it.
It's kind of heavy.
I don't break it, you know, I don't like take a... like a rip a cord out or something.
I'm sure Tom's listening to us saying, guys, don't mess with the equipment.
Don't mess with it.
So what's going on, Sharon?
You know, it's Friday.
Yeah.
We're going to have beer.
Different beer.
And all is as it should be.
It should all be different beer. These are different. It's not like the, you know, like your standard Budweiser and stuff. This is like some different stuff with different flavors, different profiles and
a bunch of
different names.
Yeah, Northwest Indiana is the capital of the people who master in making beer.
And
that's one of the cool designations.
Yeah, and we got a designation that is it's in the middle of a bunch of places, like by the hospital, by the police department, by the fire department. It's off the side of the road. It's a little gem, and I was watching it through, well, me and my wife were in the hospital, and I was watching this place through the window from the hospital room.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing how many people go in there. And they sit down, and they have their beers, and it's couples, and, you know, a few guys. It's really a cool place. I'm just so excited to introduce it to everyone out there. I feel like I've discovered something. I probably haven't.
But I think I've discovered something.
So to go there, since... like the intro said, our promo said that we're barflies.
Yeah.
I think
we're going to become barflies.
And you know what I did was I got a hold of Ant-Man. You know who Ant-Man is? He's one of the Marvel characters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he gave me some of that potion that makes you small as an ant.
Cool.
So you take the potion first because you're fearless.
All right.
Because I don't want to get too small.
Wait a second. Yeah,
you find it?
Let me find it.
There it is.
No. Oh, wait. Okay, so we're already small.
What? How do you get all small already?
I don't know. It's just one of those things.
And you're on one fly. I'm on the next fly.
That's right.
And we're flying over to Dyer.
Right.
And this fly, and the guys from Windmill Brewery told me to watch out for the helicopters.
Do you want another hit of the potion? Do you need another hit of the potion?
Yeah, give me a hit of the potion. I think we can get over there.
Let's see. Wait.
There it is. Good.
Here, wait, mine.
There, now I'm big again.
Okay, now you're small again.
No. Give me another hit of that potion. I need to get big so I can drink beer. I don't want to get drowned by some dew on the side of the can.
There you go.
Okay, I feel better. How about you, Sharon?
Okay,
there
it's
you
done.
Go.
There we go.
Okay, we're over here at Windmill Brewing over in Dyer, Indiana, and we're sitting down with Justin and Jake. Jake, I had some of that beer, and it was pretty tasty.
Really? I need to try
some. You know what we're going to do is we're going to open this up real quick. There you go.
And we got the
NWI light beer for you, Sharon.
Oh, wow. This is great.
And I know Jake already has his open, and Justin's going to open his up. Go ahead, Justin. Open yours up.
There we go.
There you go.
Oh, that's perfect.
We want you to call in 769-9577, 769-9577, and believe it or not, Justin and Jake have brought some gift cards over, and they brought three of them. And they each have a value of, you know how much, Sharon? $25.
That's great. That's generous.
Very generous.
It's very nice.
So we got three gift cards from Windmill Brewery. They're $25 a piece. And if we go through that, they also brought me a couple of baseball hats and some shirts that we can mail out to.
Very cool.
So, folks, call in 769-9577, 769-9577. We're sitting here now with Windmill Brewing out of Dyer. We have Justin and Jake, and let's introduce them. We'll start with Justin. How you doing, Justin?
Pretty good. How are you?
Justin, why don't you give us your full name and your title and sort of what you do there?
Justin Verberg, the owner, former kind of head brewer. I kind of started head brewing and pass the torch off to some other people. But yeah, started it about 5 years ago now. Still work in the tech industry as my full-time job, and windmills a expensive hobby, I say, at this point.
Your avocation, right?
Yeah.
Jake, give us your full name. And Jake is who I met, Sharon. I was like beating at the door. I wasn't beating at the door, but I'm
sure you were.
No, I went in through the back door, and I saw Jake. I thought Jake was putting together a vessel to make beer, but he was actually, he's calling it dry hopping. We'll talk about that later. He was actually getting ready to make the beer that we're drinking now.
Yeah, we got a couple of those cans. Yeah. I'm Jacob Lee Edwards, the first, and I am the head brewer of Windmill Brewing Company, Dyer, Indiana.
Now, Jake, have you always been involved with beer?
Ever since I was 21, yeah.
I mean, did you have any other type of jobs before this, like construction or anything, or you've always kind of been in the food, beverage?
Well, yeah, kind of. My first job was washing dishes out of Greasy Spoon, and my dad owns his own restaurant out in DeMont, Indiana.
Give it a plug.
Boundary Waters.
Okay.
Restaurant and Lodge in DeMont off North Haddock. Can't miss it. It's the only one with a bunch of wood outside, wood inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of food do they serve out there?
It's a steak seafood joint.
You know? Well, sounds really good. So you kind of always like kind of worked in restaurants and things like that. And how did you get your feet in the beer industry?
Well, when I turned 21,
he says that was a hesitation, but go ahead.
When I turned 21, a friend of mine was starting to read about making his own beer at home, and, one thing kind of led to another, and we got together one Sunday afternoon, and we made a Baltic Porter with chocolate, from a kit that you can buy at, Brew and Blooms in Hammond, Indiana. Just sort of sat on it for a few weeks and bottled it, and a few weeks later we had our very first beer, and it's kind of just never stopped.
So when you get these kits, I mean, right now where you're at, you have these huge, beautiful chrome vessels that you do it. When you get a kit, what do you get, like a gallon jug or something like that?
Well, you can start with a gallon. Back then we were doing 5 gallon batches, so it's a 5 gallon food safe bucket with, you know, like a spigot and a couple tubes.
So from the time you first start making it until you're ready to drink it, how long does it take?
About a month.
About a month.
I tell people about a month, yeah.
So, Justin, the beer that's in those vessels back there, they sit there for about a month?
Yep.
See, I didn't, you know, and then that's when you what? You filter them? What do you do after that?
It depends on the beer style. If it's a lager, we want it to sit nice and cold, let it finish fermenting, finish cleaning up for, you know, longer than a month sometimes. If it's something like pale ale or something that we're turning around a little quicker, as Jake said, he'll dry hop it, which helps get nice hop flavors and aromas out of it, and we'll crash it, package it. So all,
do you understand all this lingo? What's dry hopping?
All right, so
let's talk to the brewmeister.
So hops are a basically wild vine that was.
Let me ask you this real quick. Now the hops you use, are they like the ones that are the buds like you see on TV, or do you get the pellets?
Well, they are the buds, but they are extruded into a pellet.
Okay.
And more importantly, when they do that process of extruding it, they do it in a nitrogen purged environment. So what? Essentially, when we get the pellets, is the real kicker is that they're easier to use on the equipment, and they, being nitrogen purged, have a way longer shelf life than if they were fresh whole cone.
Okay, so if they were fresh, they would probably start to get mold or something
like
that?
Yeah, I mean, within a month. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look at the cone versus the pellet, too, at the surface area, you're trying to keep oxygen from it. You know, as you hear, oxygen is kind of the enemy of beer. So if you look at that hop, you got those, you know, it looks like a pine cone almost, all those edges on it and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's all places for oxygen to adhere
and moisture's rip those, no
rip
good
those flavors
like
away
that.
And stuff. So
how with the humidity, Justin, right now, you guys, and most of the brewers, they have like a big, like you have a big area, like a big garage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that alter in how you deal with making your beer?
Generally, everything's temperature controlled once the product is in the tank. The tank is, you know, sealed, totally temperature controlled down to the tenth of a degree in some instances.
Yeah.
So the environment's kept away, so everything's contained in that vessel.
Yeah. So, you know, the beer is, you know, the beer's kept temperature controlled. The environment, not necessarily, as Jake will probably attest, the back is not air conditioned.
No. I was back there.
Like a sauna sometimes. If you're brewing, there's a lot of steam flying in the air. Then the compressor that cools the beer, you know, is throwing off the heat and stuff. And it gets a little schwitzy in there.
I mean, maybe 110, would you say, is probably 110, 112?
Yeah, with a solid, you know, 80, 90% humidity, it's... Yeah.
And you're boiling basically
this is
steam
in the summer.
Yeah. In the winter, it's great, you know. Yeah. But
yeah, you turn your boots out at the end of the day and sort of dump out a quarter inch of liquid sometimes.
Ooh. Folks, we want you to dial in 769-9577, 769-9577. We have Windmill Brewing Company out of Dyer. They're here. They got 3 gift cards, each of them value of $25. That'll get you some beers. And a
couple beers, a 4-pack.
Yeah, you know, very, very... different place. I would say it has more like an industrial look inside when you're in there, more steel, stuff like that. Really kind of a cool place, Sharon. I mean, I was in there, I was like, I kind of like this place. It was kind of neat.
Yeah.
So, you know, Justin, you're one of the principal owners, right?
Yep.
Okay. What made you get that building and what was that building before?
So that building used to be Hoosier Overdoors. So the theme of that place used to be 90s office. So I think, you know, blue low shag carpet, white walls, and a drop ceiling. I used to drive past it every day after they had moved on and were renting it. I would sit in traffic on Route 30 every day, and there was a big for rent sign in the front of it. And I always thought, man, that'd be a really great brewery with the proximity to Route 30, Hart Street, which is kind of the main South Dragon Dyer. Now they got that bridge construction going on.
Yeah, but there's always construction there, isn't it?
It's sort of the nexus of that area of town. You know, we got the hospital, the fire station, the police station.
The big park.
And I just looked at it and thought, hey, this would be a great brewery. And I live a mile away down the street. And I was just thought it'd be interesting. And I also started homebrewing. You know, I
so
started.
You're like Jason. You guys sitting around. You were just brewing in your bathtub and stuff like that.
I did it in my garage instead of my bathtub. You know, my wife at the time preferred I did that outside.
Does it put it this way? When you homebrew, does it leave an aroma in the atmosphere? I mean, like if you're to do in your house, does it smell like yeast or anything like that?
It's not terrible. It's sort of
think it's terrible.
Well, we don't think it's terrible. Yeah, that's a good point too. You know, malt. If you're doing like a partial mash or something like that, you got that malt extract. It's kind of got like a syrupy sweet smell to it as you're boiling it. It's not off-putting at all. And then the hops kind of have, you know, that piney spiciness to it sometimes and stuff. But it can linger. And it's you don't want the house smelling like that all the time. Garage is a perfect place for doing home brewing.
So you guys both local products. Jake, where'd you go to high school at?
Griffith Senior High School.
And how about you, Justin?
I went to Ileana and Lansing.
Oh, so you're basically...
Yep.
Homegrown.
Yep, totally.
Now, do you ever think about buying some of these hops homegrown? Because I know there's like Howe Farms out in Leroy. Do you do any of that? Do you search out?
We've talked with them. We've talked with some places in Michigan. We just are sort of, I don't know what the best word for it is. We don't like have a regular offering. We're kind of neurotic in terms of we just kind of jump all over the place. And we're finding, you know, hops and... you know, New Zealand and Australia and South Africa, and we're buying all these just crazy small batch varieties that are just harder to find at a place like Howe or something like that. They're doing really good quality local, like we call them the sea hops, you know, like Centennial, Chinook, Cascade, which are good for like a nice West Coast IPA or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's just not a style that we do very often because there's a lot of other places around here that do really great versions of those. So we sort of opt for, like you said, different beers, just sort of more unique beers.
And I noticed, you know, like on the promo I did, Jake, we were talking about the rhubarb beer, rhubarb wheat. Was that something that you guys just
tried? That was a homebrew beer that I did probably 7 years ago.
Okay.
We liked one of the beers, like my gateway drug beer, I would say, is like Gumball Head from Three Floyds, which is a wheat pale ale. Uh-huh. They brew it with red wheat and Amarillo hops. And we were just trying to figure out an interesting way to sort of make it our own. So we found a similar recipe, Amarillo hops, and I had rhubarb everywhere growing in my backyard, which, you know, rhubarb is basically a weed.
Right.
And we just went and picked it and chopped it up and threw it in the beer and made like a nice summery... you know, sort of citrusy, but with that little bit of rhubarb tartness to it. That was one of the first homebrew beers that I bottled that I started sharing with people, and they, said, hey, this is really good. You should sell this. And
13% as you average. Wow.
13%, I think, was a stout that we made at one point, which I actually brought some of that stout, that Hey Mikey's 13% alcohol.
That's it, Sharon. We've got to drink a bunch of stout after this.
I want to try that.
We'll work our way up to that.
Yeah, who do that one's big.
Start with the light beers and work our way up to that.
Who do we got on the line?
We have three people, a little bit of a line. Grace is the first one, and she's from Highland.
Hi, Grace.
Hi.
You have a question for our two brewmeisters here?
I don't. I just want to say hi, Jake, from Grace and Indy, and I'm sure, Justin, you're awesome, so hi. And I'm so proud of you, Jake.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it, Grace. Say hi to Andrew for me.
Okay, I will.
So do you...
vegan beers. Okay, bye.
Who else we got, Sharon?
Okay.
We'll take a second caller real quick since she wanted
a... Jake fan club on the phone here.
I know.
We have Steven, and he's from out of state. He's in Iowa.
Steven from Iowa, how are you?
Not bad. How are you all doing?
Good. Glad to hear from you. So what made you call us?
So I'm actually, I'm originally from Northwest Indiana, from Hammond, and went to school at Bloomington. So my first experience at the brewery was Lenny's. So Jake, I don't know if you all ever went to Lenny's, if you've ever been in Bloomington or not, Indiana.
Can't say that I have, but unfortunately.
But my question, I guess, for you both, what, and I apologize if you answered this already, but what gives you different ideas for maybe trying to create a different new type of beer, flavors and stuff?
I love using, culinary examples of things. So looking at things, even, baked goods, cakes, pies, down to candy bars, or even some, things that might be considered more savory, like using rosemary or sage, and seeing what kind of malts and yeast those types of flavors would complement. And, sometimes it's kind of a gamble, but sometimes it really works out.
Yeah, I'd say culinary inspiration is huge, too, and seasonal things, too, like fruits and things like that, where, you're seeing these beautiful Red Haven peaches coming out of Michigan. It's like, cool, what can we do with those? So we make a peach milkshake IPA or something with it that we think
sounds cool.
That.
Oh man, that sounds delicious.
Yeah, we brought some of that with too.
Did you?
Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna try. I'm like, wow, that sounds good. That's like
that'd be a tease if we said something like that and didn't bring it.
Steven, have you ever been to the Windmill Brewing in Dyer?
It is now. I guess it's on my list now when I come home next time.
So what are you doing out in Iowa?
I work at in education at a university.
Oh, really? Well, that's interesting. Now, what are you getting us on the web?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? We feel appreciated and honored.
That's,
thank you very much for calling in, Stephen.
So, not a problem. Enjoy your day.
You know what, Stephen? We're going to be sending you out a gift card to Windmill Brewing out of Dyer. And, hopefully Justin and Jake will see you soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hey, we got one more caller? Okay, we got one more caller. Who do we got on the line, Sharon?
Okay, and Liz, she's local, Crown Point.
Liz from Crown Point, how are you doing?
I'm good.
So, Liz, what kind of beers do you like?
I like Coors beer.
Coors? So, guys, what would be comparable to a Coors beer?
That one's sitting probably right in front of that NWI Light.
That NWI Light, that's a nice one. I'm drinking one that's very, very loosely modeled after a Bud Light Lime.
So is Coors an ale?
No, it's a lager.
Yeah. It's a lager?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
See, that's how much I know. If I drink a beer, I like Little Kings.
Hey, okay. Little Kings, that's a great cream ale.
That's a cream ale. That's right. Yep. I like something. So have you ever been to or seen where I'm Windmill Brewing? Have you ever been there?
I have not. I was going to ask if you guys had baskets you sell for gifts or not.
Gift baskets. You guys do anything like
gift
that?
Gift baskets, we haven't done anything like that in the tap room. I mean, we have a lot of merchandise and stuff. We'll donate gift baskets a lot to a lot of local charities and stuff that, that hit us up sometimes.
So if she brings a basket, you guys will fill it up?
If you bring a basket, we'll put some beer in it.
Yep. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to send you out a gift card, and this will help you fill up your basket, but you better bring the basket to them. And save it for Christmas. Okay. Don't be drinking it early. Okay.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Do you guys have any specialty beers?
All kinds. Depending, around the core sector, we've got a couple of lighter options, but all the way up to very heavily hopped, heavily fruited IPAs.
How about seasonal?
Seasonal, we're going to have some pretty fun stuff this year, I think.
Yep, I think one potentially involving
pumpkin. She sounds like she's thirsty.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, okay. We We won't disappoint. I think we got a lot of interesting things there. I think you'd be surprised.
So Justin and Jake out of Windmill Brewing out of Dyer, right there across from the Franciscan Hospital, right?
Yeah.
That's where we're going to send you the gift card to, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Cheers. Have a good day.
Cheers.
You are listening to Let's Eat with Chef Nick. Thanks for listening. Give Chef Nick a call at 219-769-9577 to take part in the conversation or ask a question, and you could win a gift card to Chef Nick's Eatery in Winfield, or you could win a prize from one of his guests. 219-769-9577. That'll get you right to Chef Nick at Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.
Thanks for joining us here on Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR, 89.1 FM. You're listening to Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick. Right now, we're just two barflies on the wall at Windmill Brewing out of Dyer. Mm-hmm. And we want you to call in, 769-9577. We have hats. We have some shirts that we can send out. And we have gift cards to Chef Nick's Eatery.
That's awesome.
So give us a call, 769-9577. Justin, what made you just finally say to yourself, I'm sick of smelling up my house of barley and hops. I'm sick of drinking all the beer myself and not sharing it. It's time to go out there and do it for the world.
Yeah, I think it was a lot of well-meaning feedback from homebrew beers where people were like, you should start your own business. And I sort of took that to heart and felt like I had something and got together with Scott, my business partner, mm-hmm. and sort of put together a business plan. Got some investors, had that property that we're in right now, found some equipment. Everything just sort of fell into place really quickly, actually. It was a really neat sort of thing. It just we felt it was kind of right. And like I said, I was in the tech industry at the time. I was sort of looking to start stepping out of that a little bit and just sort of diversify my sort of career portfolio a little bit. So how'd still
you,
doing that.
How'd you find this guy, Jake?
Jake came through a friend that brewed for us, too. And
yep.
He's just worked his way up through the ranks and head brewer now. And when we started, it was just me brewing on like a 65-gallon system. When I was done with work for the day, we would roll from downtown into the brewery, pick up grain in South Holland on
really?
The way home, you know, sort of scarf down a meal and brew until midnight. And I'd collapse into bed and wake up at 5 o'clock the next day and drive downtown and do my day job.
So both of you guys, this is like a passion. I mean, this is like mm-hmm. something that you can stay up 24 hours kind of like dealing with. If it's something that it's exciting that you're trying.
We've tried to do the 24-hour thing. It doesn't always work.
Don't you have a beer that kind of keeps you up?
My longest brew day was 36 hours, and that's where I cap. That's where I cap.
Yeah, and a brewery, too, is not the best place to be working when you're tired. It's a pretty dangerous environment. There's a lot of heat and pretty dangerous chemicals that you're handling and things like that. So you got to be on your toes. So there's a copious coffee budget, too, that we invest into.
Well, Jake,
and I use that.
Now, I think it's gone up significantly since we brought you on board.
I don't have a company card. As long as the coffee stays, I'm fine.
So did you have some previous experience brewing at other places before you joined this team?
Yep. I started at a brewery in Lansing, One Trick Pony Brewing Company.
Okay.
Which is where our original brewing system was from.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Big shout out to Mark Kokel there for.
Yeah, he's the best.
Investing in pretty much all the brews around here. That dude's a legend.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. But I worked as the assistant brewer there for a couple of years, and then got an opportunity in Lake Zurich, Illinois, to be a head brewer at a brewery that no longer is in business. But from there, came to Windmill and been there ever since, and just you know.
Well, how long has Windmill been around?
We're on 5 years now. Yeah,
really?
We normally have an annual sort of anniversary party this year, which we kicked off this year. We just did an anniversary beer also that we brought along with. We brought a berry cheesecake beer that we brewed kind of in honor of our 5th anniversary. So instead of doing a big blowout this year, we just brewed a really cool beer.
Yeah,
instead.
Everyone's kind of keeping it on the low anyway this year.
The low key.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got somebody on the line?
No, but it was Steven from Cedar Falls, Iowa, called to say that he heard about your restaurant, Nick, from listening to the Friday Night Football show, Lakeshore Game Night, and your restaurant, I should say, your restaurant is on his list of places to visit when he comes back to town to visit.
That's right.
Because he's from here, but he lives out of town.
I'll tell you what, Stephen, get a calzone. We'll stuff it with whatever you like. It's delicious.
Yeah, so he's coming over to Let's Eat.
That sounds good to me.
His next trip from Cedar Falls, Iowa.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Hey, Jake, give us a little bit of a feeling of the atmosphere in there. Because it is a kind of a, you know, it's got its own look.
Yeah. So, as Justin was kind of saying before, like, it used to sort of be this 90s office vibe. And I think before that, though, it used to be a garage door sales place.
So the 90s office vibe was the showroom of the garage door place. Yeah, front that we demolished, which was quite fun.
Yeah, for as small of a building, I mean, it's not tiny or anything, but for as small of a building as it is, there's probably 6 or 7 garage doors in it. So that's probably what lends
it's
to more, that.
It's bigger in the back end than in the front.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's got nice clean lines.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of clutter.
Yeah, with concrete. We got leathered granite bar top.
Mm-hmm. Old vault wood floors or old vault wood ceiling.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we got a nice steel wall. It's like a weathered steel. Scott, the other owner, his brother Steve, owns a decorative ironwork company now. So he did that for us where he actually took plates of stainless steel and aged them artificially with like acid and chemicals and stuff and put that on our wall.
Now, how many people do you see?
About 50, 55.
Really? You do outside? Any outdoor
pre-COVID
seating?
We don't have any outdoor seating. We don't have the room for it. We have a super small parking lot because it was built as a small retail garage door place. So they need like 3 parking spots. So that's literally all we have. And then there's a ton of street parking, which generally you have to fight with hospital employees for that.
I noticed
throughout the day. But they all go home at 3 or 4 o'clock. So then that street is wide open. So then you got the whole street to park. But there's nowhere to sit outside currently. But that is something we'd really like to do in the future for sure.
So why don't you, folks, 769-9577, 769-9577, give us a call, and we'll send you out a T-shirt, hat from Windmill Brewing out of Dyer. We got Justin and Jake here, owner, and Jake is the head brewmeister over there at Windmill in Dyer. Tell us what you brought in. I mean, they're all interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Especially that big can right there.
Go ahead, because you can see them better than I can.
Okay. So starting from, like, the lightest to, like, the most flavor-forward, we have a couple of lagers we brought. NWI Light, which is, like, a very easy-drinking corn and oat pilsner. And then we brought El Gato Lima, which is a Mexican and inspired lager with a little bit of lime juice added.
And that's the one you have?
Yep, that's what I'm drinking. I like that one a lot. We brought our favorite and our fan favorite, too, if by Citra, and that was canned yesterday. So it's as fresh as can be. That's a very nice New England-style IPA with all Citra hops and a lot of oats to kind of bring a full body to it. We have Memes in the Giant Peach, which is a double milkshake-style IPA with peaches and vanilla. And that's just a really, really fun one.
I thought that one tasted good.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. That was also canned Tuesday, so that's really, really fresh as well.
So is that made with actual peaches and vanilla?
Yeah, it's got to be close to, I don't know how exactly, probably 1,000 pounds of peaches. No, yeah.
No, it's not that much, is it?
Well, it's a double batch, so.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
something
about
like
1,000
that.
Pounds of peaches.
You throw them in with the peaches in with the pits and everything?
Nope.
No, you get peaches that are peeled?
Yep. They're not peeled, but they are sliced and removed from the pit.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we blend them up and add them in, and let them sit on the yeast for a while, so all the residual sugar is eaten out of them. Mm-hmm. So the only thing left is just concentrated peach flavor.
Mm. And what else you got back there?
We brought.
What's the bottle?
Is that barrel aged Hey Mikey?
That's just regular Hey Mikey. That's from last year. So
okay.
That's just regular Hey Mikey.
Regular Hey Mikey. Yeah.
And you said something to me earlier that's something you should drink at the end.
It's a very much dessert beer. It's a oatmeal milk stout.
Yeah, with cinnamon and maple syrup.
Yeah, it's sort of a take on Life cereal. Hey Mikey, he likes it.
I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And then I think we got two crawlers. We got the pineapple memes cake, which is a cherry pineapple graham cracker.
Upside down cake.
Pineapple upside down cake.
Cake batter. Yeah. Wow. And then we have all berries memes cake, which is a quadruple berry cheesecake tart summer beer with a little bit of milk sugar for residual sweetness.
You know what? The one thing I noticed, they have friendly names. Yes. You know, sometimes you go to some of these breweries and it's like they scare you with their names, like the can's going to bite you, or
yeah, it's
there's
like
sharp
a mean
edges
face on it, or a
you go put it to your
something.
Lips and there's razor blades around it or something like that. I mean, that's how, but you guys have really like friendly names, and
nice.
And it makes it like I'm going to drink that and taste just peach and vanilla. You know what I mean?
We try to be a little humorous, and we're pretty internet conscious, you know, internet savvy is sort of our generation thing. So we try to go more in that realm, which is where you get sort of the memes cake, or you got, you know, memes
like
and a lot of the beer names
I like
and stuff
it.
Like
myself,
that.
I like it.
Yeah, I like it too.
I mean, you see, I mean, sometimes I see these cans and it's like everything's skeletons and half-dressed women. Not that I'm a prude or anything, but it's like I like when I look at something, I like to draw a picture in my head, and I don't want to draw a picture of death.
Yeah.
I'd rather draw a picture of
happiness.
Yeah, that's
sort of a little happier and cartoony and stuff. You know, there's places that do that very well, and that's their sort of thing. Yeah. And then after a while, it just starts to feel a little derivative. So that's not our thing. We're trying to do something a little more fun.
Yeah. There's so, definitely enough breweries doing like a very
I like it.
Rock and roll forward thing. And,
right.
You know,
how'd you come up with Windmill?
Scott and I are both Dutch.
Okay.
So it's sort of,
and that's a friendly thing,
answer.
Too. Windmill makes you feel like you're just, you know, running through the field with some clean sheets or something.
You're,
you know,
like
behind
in the Sound
you.
Of Music or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Windmills are traditionally, you know, used for, you know, making flour, grain, processing grains and stuff like that. So I thought it was pretty obvious.
I was reading, and am I wrong? I mean, you guys are really, really devoted to the beer experience. I mean, that's what you're all about. You're not about the food, because you have no food there.
We don't have food, nope.
What do you offer? Popcorn?
Nope. We had pub mix pre-COVID, and we sort of put that away for a while just because, you know, we would clean the bowls in between hands, but, you know, people just aren't really into that right now. So we've done food trucks historically, but it's literally just taproom with beer.
Okay. And then another thing, Sharon, I was reading about it, which is cool, that they care about the people having a beer, the beer experience, trying different brews, not getting all trashed. Did I read it right? Do you have a limit, like...
When we opened, that one of the constraints of the town, because they didn't want another bar in town, was what they told us, and we were having a really hard time distinguishing that we were a craft brewery, not a bar. So we implemented a drink limit, which it was 3 beers at the time. That they, when we were going through the original zoning approvals, that we wouldn't let, and 3 full beers. I mean, we wouldn't let, you know, it wasn't samples or anything like that. But just to sort of emphasize the fact that it was about trying different beers and enjoying the beer. Not coming to sit on a Saturday and watch college football and drink, you know, 10, you know, light lagers and get smashed. It was all about just trying different beers. And that was sort of the emphasis. And that sort of won them over because they originally weren't super enthused about us coming in town. They're like, oh, great, another bar. And we were like, we're not a bar.
No, brewery like, is a little bit beer. Different. Yeah, but you don't have, like, loud music going on or anything like that. It's kind of
a little more about the artisticness behind it, too, right? That's more the focus.
Yeah, we have one TV, you know, and, you know, sports aren't really kind of either going on right now. But when, you know, the Cubs were in the World Series, it's like, yeah, I have a TV in the taproom or something like that. But we don't have 15 TVs in the taproom. We have one. You know, if there's local sports on, we'll have that on. Otherwise, it's usually
muted Murder, She Wrote or something.
SpongeBob or Harry Potter or something like that.
Twilight.
So you... In your tap room, how many taps do you have going? How many different beers do you offer?
Currently, we have 16 taps, and currently all taps are flowing. So you have 16 varieties of beer to try if you come into the tap room.
Now, are people able to buy kegs, Justin? Or
we do wholesale some kegs, or people can buy them.
Are you guys so throwback, they're wooden, or are they steel?
They're actually plastic.
They're actually plastic. We have disposable kegs. So gone are the days of keg deposits, you know, where you would go to a brewery and buy a keg, and you'd have to plunk down $50 and stuff like that. We have these really cool disposable plastic kegs that are totally compatible with the keg taps that you would normally have.
Yep, and but recyclable.
When you're done with it, you just depressurize it and chuck it in your recycling bin.
Really?
Yep.
And how large? How many gallons is something?
They're
like that?
5 gallons. Yeah.
They're 5 gallons. Yep. So what they have to do? Well, this is like your catering. I always ask. You know, we're talking how you like think of food when you do your beer, but you know, we always ask the restaurateurs. You do catering. Well, you guys do kegs. So how long in advance do they got to call and say, hey, you know, I want the NWI beer?
We don't really do pre-orders. Generally, we'll keg what our accounts want. We'll can, and then any leftover kegs we'll list for sale on our website. And you can purchase them direct to the website, come pick it up from the tap room.
And that's if I don't take it and put it on tap in my basement.
Correct.
Do you have howlers and growlers and things like that?
We don't do glass, we do, so looking behind you, those cans are the same size as a howler. So 32 ounces. So two of those would make a growler. What's nice about the crawlers is they're way easier to recycle. They hold a lot longer. So whereas a growler or howler might stay good for 2 or 3 days in your fridge, the crawler can last, I mean, with a good CO2 barrier and a good seam on it, up to 2 weeks, you know, before you still really see any flavor drop off.
And you can take it to the beach.
And you can take it to the beach.
That sounds good. Go. Any entertainment? You guys have like acoustic guitar in there? You guys do anything like that?
Never.
Never.
No. Nope.
You guys are really serious about your beer.
Yeah.
How many retail?
Probably to a fault, but we get a lot of people like, why don't you guys have loud music? Why don't you guys have trivia? Why don't you guys have bingo night?
Well, and let's get back. Like, what's your crowd? What do you think your demographics on your crowd? From my window vantage, four floors up in Dyer Hospital looking down, they seem like they were all not older, but like a really tamed going out to relax, to have a talk. It wasn't,
and that's kind of what our focus is. It's a very beer savvy consumer, I would say. You know, they're not coming to sit there for a couple hours and do trivia and, you know, drink a bunch of IPAs and stuff like that. They're going there because we just released this new beer, and, you know, they're going out with their wife and they want to try this. You know, it's about the beer. It's not about coming for trivia night or bingo night or whatever. And that's the experience we're providing, and I feel like it's working pretty well.
From my window view, it was working pretty well. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, there's a lot of people going in there. And what I noticed is your hours are probably different than most places. What are your hours there?
Right now it's 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. It used to be 10 p.m. on weekdays, and it was 11 p.m. on weekdays. We cut that back to 8. Mm-hmm. We were just seeing people don't really want to – people don't go out later anymore. And so we pitched it to our taproom staff too. You know, if you guys want to stay that late and it not be busy, that's fine. And they opted to go with the earlier hours at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a hard cut at 8. You know, we'll stay later if there are people there who want to hang out. But really it's kind of a soft 8 until we figure out what on earth is going on right now.
So is that Monday through 7 days a week?
Yeah, pretty much. Right?
Yep. The only day we're closed on Sundays.
Yeah, so that's true.
Yep.
So am I. it makes a big difference.
Everybody deserves a day of rest.
So you were just talking about how you had to make a little bit changes here and there because of the virus. When you got the word the virus went down, what was your reaction and what did you guys end up doing? And did you guys stay open?
We never stopped brewing through the entire thing. And in a lot of ways, we were very fortunate in that I guess we never totally relied on the tap room for... You know,
did you shut down the taproom,
well,
Justin?
We shut the taproom down and pivoted to packaged sales. And the taproom basically got shut down, you know, almost overnight. All our outside accounts got shut down essentially overnight as well. So we pivoted from doing in-house sales and having salespeople and delivery people to doing packaged sales out of the taproom, used our outside salespeople as delivery people. We turned our whole website around, put in online shopping, so you could go on our website, you could order your beer, and one of our people would deliver it to your house. You know, hand sanitizer, masks, gloves, all that
curbside
stuff.
Curbside pickup, everything.
Yep. And we did curbside pickup, yep. So we were able to basically just turn the whole company around, you know, within a day or two to basically just serve that sort of local beer need without laying anybody off. We didn't lay anybody off. We cut hours just a little bit in the tap room, and everything worked out super well.
So it worked out so well. Is that something you're continuing with?
We're still doing the online sales on our website.
Has that softened since?
And curbside pickup. Yep. We do allow people in the tap room again, which is really nice.
So did that soften all your curbside and your
delivery? At least 4 cars outside this morning. So
yeah, there's still people that will just do curbside. You know, and it's all depending on their customer's comfort level. You know,
right.
If they want to pull up to the curb and call us, we'll come and put it in their car.
So you notice some people are just in a hurry. They just don't want to get out of the car. They'll just call as they're pulling up, and we bring it right out to them.
So what are you doing since they kind of open? Now it's 100% and everything. I mean, what's going on inside? Have you changed anything?
Yeah, we're still observing, you know, all the social distancing requirements.
I know you had the sanitizers for the customers.
The only thing we're not doing is bar seating right now because it's really hard. Our bar isn't super big. It seats like 5-6 people. And socially distanced, that's like 2 people. And that's just sad. So right now we're kind of using the bar as essentially a place to come up and order beer. We'll get back to it at some point. We do really miss the bar seating.
Yeah.
But 2 seats at the bar is no fun. So we have 0 seats at the bar. And we have a little area cut out aside that used to be seating. That's all kind of our staging area for to-go people now, because we have so many to-go orders. We literally have a table with, you know, bags right. with order tickets stamped on it, yeah. ready for them to come pick it up and stuff. So, yeah, we were really fortunate to be able to quickly pivot the business from, you know, primarily in-house draft focused and outside keg sales to being able to just go straight cans. You know, we had the canning system in place. We had
all
the
stock. You guys can your own? Because I hear that yep. sometimes companies come in and can your own.
Yeah, no, we have our own canning system, yep. And Jake operates it beautifully. It's a
sometimes.
Sometimes.
sometimes it's really. And bottles, too?
For special things.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
some things.
Like the Hey Mikey we have back
there. That 13% stout, you wouldn't want to really necessarily drink a whole 16-ounce can of that. So that lends itself more to the 22-ounce glass format. But that's all done by hand when we do that. But the canning system is semi-automated.
Folks, if you want to call in, 769-9577. We still have hats and some shirts that we can give out from Windmill Brewing out of Dyer. We have Justin and Jake here on Let's Eat with Sharon Jackson and me, Chef Nick, on 89.1 FM. Give us a call, 769-9577. Mm-hmm. So, go ahead.
I'm curious about what was it, like a four-berry cheesecake beer?
Yeah, Do you want to try some? We should crack that open.
Yeah, and get that'd it be cool. Yeah. Yeah. And, can you tell me how you made it?
Which one is that, the bottle? All Berry Memes Cake. It's one of the big cans.
So we've done these sort of, we call them Memes Cake beers, and yep. we've done a cherry one. So that the go way back.
Yeah.
Like our original beer that sort of we had lines in front of the building for was a milkshake style IPA called Memes and Dreams. So it's a mango milkshake IPA. So it was a New England style IPA kind of beer with oats and a lot thicker mouthfeel, the milk sugar, mangoes, and vanilla.
Here, Sharon.
Yum.
So then we started pivoting into these Memes Cake beers where it was a similar milkshake style beer, but we started adding some cheesecake and graham cracker flavoring to it. So it was like cheesecake, which is more dessert inspired. Mm-hmm. So we've done cherry ones, we've done blueberry, raspberry. So we thought
that would taste almost like wine.
We thought for our fifth anniversary, we should just take all the berries that we've ever done as cheesecake beers and put them all in one beer. So that's why we just called it All the Berries Memes Cake. It's
Sharon,
it's
would you, that's great. That is great.
Yeah, that's
it's
great.
It's almost like you can reduce it and put it over some fruit yep. or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we totally could. It would yeah. be really good over like vanilla ice cream or something like that. I haven't done that.
I know you guys don't do food, but I mean, have you ever thought about doing any food?
I think about it all the time.
You're hungry, Jake. You're hungry.
Our current situation, we just don't have room for food.
Right.
Everything's just taken up right now with, you know, keg, that grain is, storage.
I want to compliment you guys. I'm not a real – I like wine and I like whiskey. I'll – dabble with beer.
Okay.
That is awesome. Cool. Did you bleep the middle word I was going to say? But that's really good.
That was that really button. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was really good.
Cool. It's just fun and different. You know, it's like it's still beer, but you know, it's a dessert, because normally when you talk about drinking beer for dessert, people look at you like you're crazy. But you know, you have some of these sweeter beers.
I was looking on. People got to look at your website and on your Facebook. But I was looking. You have I think it's this one, the Windmill. That it's red. It's red in color or pink in color.
Yeah.
The
beers themselves. It tastes
good.
And they look
colors.
Good.
You have different colors.
Sure,
they
do.
Look good.
I've
just
never seen
on
it.
What ingredient would cause that shift in color?
That's good. Now, see, I got excited about something.
I know, exactly.
I like that one. That was good.
I'm full of questions, but first,
you gotta go out
Elizabeth
to Dyer.
Has a question.
Elizabeth, how are you?
She's from Griffith.
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Oh, right now, after drinking that, really good.
It sounds really good.
Hi, Mom.
I have a question. I know, you know, with COVID, things are a little bit different, but does Windmill do any kind of beer tasting type events? Because I'm not really a big beer drinker, so it'd be nice to go in somewhere and just, like, be able to try a bunch of different things to see what I really like.
Well, we're back to glassware, so does that mean we're doing flights?
We don't do flights.
Oh, well, we never did flights.
We did flights briefly. We stopped doing flights for a variety of reasons. But
if you come in, you can ask for a sample of any of our 16 options, and we'd be happy to accommodate.
So you'll sample everything that's on tap.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We stopped doing samples when we originally were doing plastic drinkware when we reopened post-COVID. But just in the past couple of days, we've switched back to glass as things have reopened, and you know, people are getting a little more comfortable with it and stuff like that. So now it's, you know, glassware. We have sample glasses that we can give people. And
so, Elizabeth, what you need to do, you need to go to Windmill Brewing in Dyer, right across from the hospital, and ask for 1 ounce of every one of those ones that are on the wall. They're all for free. And you'll enjoy your afternoon, I'm sure.
I'm sure I will. I think I'm going to try that.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
If you get 16 samples, make sure you tip your bartender.
Yes, please. Yes. So, you know, we're talking about beers and
If you were to do a sample event, would you know those little plastic? They're like almost for like side condiments or something. You could maybe use something like that. I don't know if you guys ever considered anything.
Well, we do beer events. We just typically don't host them.
Right.
So actually, our head salesperson is out in Indianapolis right now doing a couple deliveries, and then tomorrow. He's going to be working a beer event in...
Way down in Kokomo.
Oh, yeah, Kokomo, Indiana.
How many retail operations you guys are in?
Oh, boy.
You think?
I don't even want to venture a guess.
Really?
Yeah, all
maybe,
over the state.
Yeah.
South Bend, Fort Wayne, Mishawaka.
Yeah.
I had a quick question going back to... How did you get the graham cracker flavor in the beer?
Graham cracker flavoring.
Yep.
Yeah, if you put actual graham crackers in it, they just disappear. Because you would have to put them in so early in the process when you put the grains in, the flavor disappears, so you can get graham cracker flavoring.
Oh, wow.
Well, and graham cracker, so yeast eats sugar, and graham crackers are mostly sugar.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So
graham flour and honey, essentially, and that the yeast will just rip that honey out, and you'll have no flavor left.
Folks, 769-9577, 769-9577, give us a call, and we'll send you out a hat, a T-shirt, even a gift card from Chef Nick's Eatery. You guys, what do you have coming up? I mean, you're saying you do seasonal items. Do you have something that's going to break out here in a few weeks that you want to put out there?
We are working on a line of seltzers. That's kind of a new thing.
Okay.
Is the hard seltzer.
What is a seltzer?
Essentially, it's an alcoholic seltzer water.
Fizzy
water. Really?
Yeah, with flavoring in it. So that's something we've been working on for a while. There's a couple breweries that have been doing them, and we've been pretty happy with some of the results we've seen, you know, and you got the big ones like White Claw and stuff out there. We, with our permit as a brewery, we can also legally make a hard seltzer. So it's something we've been sort of piloting for a while, and you're going to see one of those coming from us pretty soon.
Nice. Seasonal. Do you guys do peppermint beer or anything like that?
We haven't done anything with peppermint.
No, mint beer. I mean, it just doesn't taste good.
Come on.
It just doesn't taste good.
Just drink some peppermint
schnapps. It ends up coming out like toothpaste a lot of times.
Yeah, really?
What about eggnog or anything like that? Can you do something like
really
that?
That's really not a bad idea.
Eggnog could be fun. It'd primarily be the nutmeg I think you're really going for as the dominant flavor.
Rum. You could rum barrel it.
Rum barrel age with nutmeg. See, we're spitballing right here.
I don't know.
This is how things get made at Windmill.
You guys were talking how, you know, I said I like Little Kings, and you said, well, we kind of mirror. Do you do that? Do you guys sometimes grab a few and say, hey, why don't we make something that tastes like Pabst?
That was the original inspiration for like our milkshake IPA was there's a brewery out in Pennsylvania that makes a milk. They're like the original kind of inventors of the style of milkshake IPA. It's called Tired Hands. And I had never actually had the beer from them. But we were just talking one day about what that might taste like. And we sort of slapped together a recipe so that we could get it, because it's hard to get out here. They're in Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and it's really hard to find out here. Almost impossible. You got to trade for it and stuff. So we just started making it. And according to people that have had them, they said it's pretty good and it's pretty similar. So stuff like that where we'll get inspired by other breweries that make things that we like, and we'll kind of, you know, copy it and do our own little riff on it and change
something
up. Put
our imprint on it. You know, it's not a straight ripoff, but, you know, I think, you know, that is what art is, right?
Jake, what's trending?
In the beer world?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. I don't really know.
Seltzers.
Yeah, seltzers
pastry
are
stouts.
pastry seltzers, you know, hot dog flavored water.
Hot dog flavored water. I worked at a few hot dog stands. I wouldn't drink that one.
My parents own one.
There's the American IPA is never going to go away. I think as consumer taste develops, especially, you know, there's certain hubs, Colorado, California, certain areas of California, Northwest Indiana, some places in North Carolina. These are like the centralized locations for craft beer. And as those consumers' tastes sort of educate themselves and grow, I think we're going to see a reversion back to clean, easy drinking lager beer that might not be as sort of boring as a Pabst Blue Ribbon. Not that there's anything wrong with a Pabst Blue Ribbon, but is still very drinkable, refreshing, and easy on your tummy.
Well, how about these nice foo-foo beers? I mean, are they getting more popularity?
They're fun, and they fly off the shelves. Uh-huh. But
women or men?
Both.
Both?
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. A lot of times it's the wives picking up for the husbands. But no, but in all seriousness, it's super approachable for almost anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're just a lot of fun. You know,
and what do you guys sell the most, Justin? I mean, what's your biggest selling beer?
Probably the 2F by Citra that we were mentioning earlier. Yeah. The All Citra New England Style IPA, which is it's got a lot of flavor but not a lot of bitterness. You know, you hear a lot of people, I don't like IPAs; they're too bitter. Mm-hmm. These New England Style IPAs is more. We add the hops later in the process, so you don't extract all that bitterness. You get more flavor, you get more aroma out of it. We had a lot of oats in the brewing process, so it's got a lot of fuller, almost sweeter mouthfeel, not as sweet as like a lactose, so it's not cloying or anything like that, but mm-hmm. it's just a lot easier to drink and more approachable for people who are really sensitive to that kind of harsh bitterness from like a West Coast IPA that you can get out of like a, you know, a Stone or even like a Sierra Nevada IPA. It's still got like a good hearty bitterness, which is delicious, but some people don't really appreciate. So that's probably our best seller.
I would have to say, Sharon, I learned a lot this hour.
Oh, yes.
It was a great hour, and you went it was interesting because I think it's one of the few times that I brought somebody on with that talked about beer, and it was like they were talking about food too.
Right,
they bring it together. I really like that, and I like the nice names too.
Academic, a little bit almost.
So, Justin, we got about a few seconds here. Why don't you tell your public anything?
Anything?
Anything
oh, man.
You like? Just come on in.
Stop in. Come check us out. We got a lot of really interesting beers that probably some styles you haven't tried before. Have a sample, try it. You know, don't be afraid.
Address, phone number?
2121 Gettler Street, Dyer, Indiana, windmillbrew.com.
Jake, go ahead. Give a shout out to anyone.
Oh, to my fiance, Jordan.
Oh,
I love
nice.
Her very much.
That's sweet.
Yep.
I'd give her this pink beer. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sure she'd love it. But yeah, we have a little bit of something on tap for everybody. So, you know, even if the old man who doesn't like craft beer comes in, we have some NWI Light for him.
Well, Sharon, it was a great hour.
It was.
I want to thank Justin and Jake from Windmill Brewing Company out of Dyer for coming in and bringing in all these great beers, beers that I've never tried, beers with friendly names.
Yes.
Yeah, and great flavors. And for a guy like me, some that are kind of like foo-foo that I kind of like.
It's nice. Definitely.
Yeah.
Very original.
Yeah, all very original. So I encourage everyone out to go out to Dyer and visit Windmill Brewing. It's kind of a nice little place with a huge back area where they brew the beer. You can see all the vats right there. Nice, cozy place. Got a kind of an industrial take on it. I want to, again, thank them for taking time out on the busy day. It's a Friday. And I want you, the listeners, to take it easy this weekend. Take in a ball game. We got all the high school football games going on. We got game night tonight with Wayne and Tommy. They'll be on TV afterwards. And we want everyone to be safe out there. Take it easy. Visit Windmill Brewing out in Dyer. It's a great place if you want to sit around, take it easy, and have some really tasty brews. So thank you again for listening and calling in. And everyone have a great weekend. And Yasu.